One thing I've learned in my life is I've never had a problem making a fool of myself. Quiet, Earl. And I have another surprise. You have cue cards that are throughout the pews, and I had a plan for those. I'm going to get you to write something on them. So everybody needs one, and I have some young gentlemen who are going to help me. If you don't have a pen, and you're thinking, well, I can't write anything because I don't have a pen, they're going to distribute pens upstairs. And if anybody needs a pen to write on your cue card, make sure you have a cue card you can use your hymnal to write on. They're going to pass out the pens. And as they're doing this, I'll tell you what I want you to write on them. This is something that I actually did with the youth group, so some of the youth group people will be getting a second round of this, but I've kind of added a little more to it and hopefully be beneficial to everybody. What I want you to write on the first side is the answer to this question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? So you can go ahead and start that. Get your cue card and your pen and a solid surface to write on. And I'm going to just go ahead and give a couple of minutes for... Yes, what is a true Christian? Yeah. Biblically speaking, that's the answer I'm looking for, or perhaps you're not familiar with that, and that's part of the reason for the exercise is maybe you're not, and part of the purpose for this is to get your own mind thinking, and I'll be collecting these afterwards, but they won't be shared with anybody. It's as much for yourselves just to see how you respond to that and to get your own brains in gear. And when I did this before, I found there was a lot of different things. I'm not looking for any big theological explanation. I'm actually looking for something very simple. Not even necessarily what a Christian does or their actions, but what is a Christian? And for those of you who know the answer to that question or believe you have a good answer, it's also kind of an exercise to see, kind of put on the spot how you would respond to that, because the Bible says that we ought to be able to give an account for our faith. And then on the other side, like I say, it doesn't have to be very long. You can write how you become a Christian. On the back side of it, you can write how you become a Christian. And I didn't turn this on, but I'm going to. Just maybe another minute or two. I see some people are starting to finish. So take another minute or two. This is a little different. I hope not making anybody too uncomfortable. Okay, I'm going to get the same guys that went around and passed out the pens to just pick those up. If you're not done, that's fine. Take more time to finish it if you need more time to finish it. And you don't put your name or anything on it. I'm not looking for any contact information. But if you want more time to work on it, you can do that. And then just when you leave after the meeting is over, you can just leave it on your seat, and I'll be going around and picking up the extra cue cards and the chewed pen caps. And okay, For those of you who are ready, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 17, just for our first reading. We're going to read in at verse 13. Just read a couple of verses there. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. And again, take as much time as you want filling those out. John chapter 17 and verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the word that you have given to us, this Bible that we can so freely hold in our hands. We know that this world is a dark place, and there's many areas of this world that would not allow such freedom. So this morning, Father, we ask that we would make good use of the resources that we have. Father, that you would make our minds sharp this morning. And Father, make our hearts ready to receive your word as fertile ground. Father, as we consider these things about what is a Christian and how can I become a Christian, Father, that they would be clear. Father, we may realize that we draw truth from you. It's no concepts of man that can give us the true definition for these things, although man has many definitions. Father, help us to understand what you have to say to us this morning. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, I shared this, or part of this message anyway, with the youth group. I was asked to speak to the youth group a number of weeks ago, and we covered some of this material, but for the young people that did some of this, we're going to also walk some new ground as well. And so first of all, I did a little bit of research into that word Christian just by itself, and from the Greek translation, it's Christianos, and the strict definition of that word, what was given for it, was an adherent of Jesus. So if anybody wrote that down, you got full marks. An adherent of Jesus. I was looking for something simple, but I'm very interested to see some of the responses, and I was very interested to read over some of the responses from the young people. An adherent of Jesus. So what does this mean? Well, for those who are familiar with the word, one place you want to turn right away is to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And we see here the very beginning of this title, Christian. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 tells us this. Actually, we'll just read verse 25, I guess, to get the beginning of the sentence. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So here we see the first time that the word Christian kind of came about, and maybe that's got the gears in your head turning a little bit and saying, well, that's interesting because I never really thought about it having a beginning. You know, sometimes we're so full of ourselves in this society and we call ourselves a Christian society that it's almost like it never had a beginning. It's just always the way it was and we're part of that. But this is where the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were first called Christians. And why is it that this came to pass? What was the cause for this beginning? As anything that has a beginning, you kind of stop and wonder what caused it to start. And well, what literally happened was that those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were just going about their lives. They were sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for sinners, and there was forgiveness to be found in him. And they behaved themselves a certain way, people who had given their lives over to Christ. And those that looked on them and heard their message, perceived their actions and their goings about, they noticed very quickly that they were different from others. And the main thing that they found about these people was, now you have to remember, kind of put yourself in the scene, which is something I always like to do, is that the Lord Jesus Christ had not so long ago, at that time, been crucified. And that was something that would have been well known in those areas because he had done many marvelous miracles, wonderful works. The words that came out of his mouth, his hands as he touched people, the blind were made to see, lepers were cleansed, demons were cast out. Things that had never been done or seen before, the Lord Jesus Christ did them. People that were dead physically were made alive. And people marveled. And we see that at the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was really one of the last, the kind of, you could say, the straw that broke the camel's back for those people that hated the Lord Jesus Christ, was he raised up Lazarus from the dead. And people marveled, and they went and they traveled a great distance to go and see this man Lazarus, because he had been dead many days. And they had put him in a tomb. And the Lord Jesus Christ came along and they said, don't open the tomb, because he's been in there long enough that he's going to stink. And he brought him forth from the dead. And people went. And those who hated the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were in power, they wanted to kill him. And they wanted to kill this man Lazarus who was brought forth from the dead. And so people would have known who the Lord Jesus Christ was and these things that he had done. But what was the end of that tale to people of that day and age? Was that man who had done so many wonderful things, they took that man and they nailed him to a cross. And he died. And they buried him in a tomb. And for many people, perhaps you could even say most people in that day and age, that's where the story ended. Whatever happened to that man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they hung him on a cross and they buried him in a rich man's tomb. And there were certainly rumors that circulated about that, about how the disciples had stole his body away. There was claims that he had rose from the dead and was seen by many witnesses. These things were rumored abroad. But of course, many were unbelieving. Even his own disciples, whom he had told these things, had a hard time accepting it. And we all know of doubting Thomas, who said he would not believe until he was able to put his finger in the nail prints in his hands and to thrust his hand into his side where they had put the spear into the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ kind of became certainly a person and a topic that was one of mockery. Here was this person who claimed great things. He had a ministry of only 3 short years. And then he was taken and he was brutally handled. Horrific death. So much so that the scripture tells us that his visage was marred more than the sons of men, not even recognizable as a man. And what a point of mockery to all those who believed in him. Well, he didn't turn out to be very much, did he? That was kind of a short-lived little trip. And that's what the people of this day and age thought. And I kind of want to drive home that point because this word, Christian, when it was first used in Antioch, it was a term of scorn. And as I continue to do a little bit of research, I came across this, that this word Christian was a title that was applied by the Gentiles with the implication of scorn. And there was a man, Tacitus, who was writing near the end of the first century, and he says of this term Christian that the vulgar called them Christians. This wasn't even something that people just kind of threw around loosely. It was like a curse word. Because they would refer back to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he had no power. He had no lasting ministry. This was something that common people didn't use. You know, oftentimes we refer to somebody who has a poor time controlling their language. You know, they can curse like a sailor. This was a term that the people in society that were labeled as vulgar, you know, even people that maybe used harsh language, they kind of steered away from these people because they were always having terrible things coming out of their mouths. And they called them Christians. It was a derogatory term because they associated them with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like, you know what you people remind me of? Remind me of that guy, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that you behave yourselves around other people, the way that you talk different than other people, the things that you teach different than other people, the way that you respond, even when we mock you, different. And that brings us right back full circle to what that word means, an adherent of Jesus Christ. They were like glue. The things that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, that he stood for, that he shared with the world, these disciples, they were like glue to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so much like him that people called them Christians, little Christs, followers of Christ. And so that's where we get that term Christian. So what is a Christian? Someone who follows Christ. Someone who is like Christ. Someone who is stuck like glue to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, his teachings, his actions. And as I was thinking of these things, I thought, how can I apply that to my own life? And that's really what kind of originally got me thinking of this. And I was asked to share kind of the gospel with the youth group. And I was saying, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I thought to myself, is that something that I'm earning? Am I earning the right to be called a Christian? I look at my life and I say, do people confuse me with the Lord Jesus Christ? So that person is different. And the only thing that I can kind of pin that person down to is they're just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard a lot about him and there's a lot of controversy. There's so many different religions out there, but this person seems to be different. They always have the Bible open. They're always praying. They always have a right attitude. Is that something that you can say of your own life? And so my question to you is, are you a Christian? And stop and ask yourself that. And we had a little Bible study yesterday morning, I guess you could say, some of the young men we had gathered together to pray and just share with each other some of the challenges that we have. And we were talking about that a little bit. I just kind of brought it up because it was something I'd been studying. And I was thinking of that. And in relation to how it was something that was vulgar, and again, in some of the research that I did, it wasn't until the second century that it was kind of a term that was accepted by Christians to be a title of honor. For a long time, it was just a thing of disgrace that you wouldn't want people to really call you, not because they were ashamed of Christ, but because it was attached with the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just find that it's so easy for us to call ourselves Christians, but how often do we go about in the world doing our thing, whether it be school or work, socializing, our hobbies, and we have people that are in the world without us telling them, you know, because everybody wants to know, what denomination are you? What religion are you? You know, what is your belief system? What is your faith? You know, and a good response to that is that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you ever had somebody label you a Christian without saying, I'm a Christian? Because I think that's the ultimate goal, because that's what happened in Antioch. They looked at them and said, you're just like Christ. And I was encouraged by one of the brothers yesterday morning while we were talking, was sharing, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but he was talking about at work and how he kind of has to make a stand in some things. And one of the guys that he works with, who's kind of more against the Bible and God, he nicknamed him JC because he's like Jesus Christ. And I thought that was pretty encouraging. You know, do we have that kind of a testimony where we work? Do I have that kind of a testimony where I work and when I go to school? People say, you know, you're just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all about the Bible. And everything seems to come full circle back to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I was reading something in a book of just kind of little stories, and there was one story of Alexander the Great, and there was a soldier that was under him, and he was being dealt with for misconduct in the army, and they asked the soldier what his name was, and maybe you've heard this story before, and I'm just kind of shooting it off the top of my head. And they asked him what his name was, and he said his name was Alexander, the same as that great captain, Alexander the Great. And the person who was judging him said, you either have to change your name or change your manners, because it wasn't belonging to that name. And so when we call ourselves Christians, are we worthy of that? To me, what strikes me is that's a great thing to call yourself a Christian. Are you worthy of it? Are you living like it? And there's all kinds of misconceptions out there about what a Christian is. And so perhaps if you don't know and you're faced with that opportunity to write on a little cue card what a Christian is, and you really weren't sure, you had some ideas, and you're faced with this information from the Word of God, then I also pose a question to you. Are you a Christian? Can you say of your life that I desire the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that my life, if not always what I want it to be, my desire is to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, to love to be in the Word, to love to pray and communicate with God? Is that the desire of your life? Because that's a pretty good determining factor as to whether or not you really are a Christian. Because lots of people have different ideas about what a Christian is. And you can go to religions and cults, and they'll argue with each other, and they'll argue with the Word of God, and one will put down another and say, well, you're not really Christians, and say, oh, yes, we are, and all these different things, and you boil it all down, and they're adhering to a teaching that comes from the head of their organization or their religion. They're adhering to the things that were passed down by the forefathers. And the Word of God is good, but it's only as good as something else. Or the Word of God is good, but it only goes along with something else to add to it and to clarify it. Are you adding things to what God has taught in His Word to define what a Christian is? Or can you go to the Word of God alone and see the teachings of Christ and say, that is true. That is truth. And I'll believe that and follow that. And I was just sitting there during the breaking of bread this morning, and I was again thinking of these things. And I'm not a father yet, but I would love to be one day. And I was thinking of the privilege that many have to be parents and to look at their children. And you know, sometimes you look at somebody's kids and you say, man, they look just like that parent. You know, I see a little boy looks just like his father, or a little girl, and they look just like their mother. And you know, that kind of thrills my heart a little bit. You know, I have to say, I'm pretty selfish. I want to see a little kid running around that looks just like me. But at the same time, that was making me think, when God looks at us, does He say, they look just like my son? You know, that's what brings joy to the heart of God, is when His children walk in obedience. And they're mistaken for ones who are just like Christ. God is pleased with His Son. And that's what has happened for those of us who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've entered into the family of God through His Son. And He wants us to look just like His Son. That's what brings joy to Him. And then we also looked at the question, how to become a Christian. So that's all fine and good. Perhaps, you know, that kind of clarifies some things for you as far as what a Christian is. And maybe you've come to the point, you realize that whatever you wrote down on that cue card or whatever your ideas are, I'm not even meeting my own standard, or I'm not meeting the standard of the Word of God as to what a Christian is. I can't honestly say that I'm a Christian. If that's what it means, then I can't say that I'm a Christian. And then you start thinking, well, who really can call themselves a Christian? Someone who is just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you examine the lives of everybody in here, I'm sure it wouldn't take long to find faults in everyone. Wouldn't take you long to find faults in mine. I couldn't even find my Bible to come up here. But worse than that, the sins in our lives. And who can call themselves a Christian then? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, His death on the cross that so many mocked as being the end of a short ministry, was really just the beginning of the very best part of His ministry. Because it was when He was on the cross of Calvary that He bore in His own body the sins of the world. And I'd like to turn to a couple of verses just to kind of set some of these things up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to keep this as simple as I can. And these are well-known verses to some. We speak of the gospel, the good news. We want to know what it is. We kind of have it in a few brief statements here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, this is the delivery of the message of the gospel. This is what it is. First of all, that which I also received, that how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen. And of course, it carries on there, but we'll just end our reading there. That the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that means you. That means me. I've already related it to my life. When I was 13 years old, I was in my room by myself searching for the way to heaven because I knew that it was out there. And I knew that you could be sure you were going to heaven because of the things that I had been brought up learning. And I'd struggled with knowing what it really was and who Jesus Christ really was. But I came to the point in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus Christ died for Joshua Poole. That's who he died for. He died for me. Yeah, he died for the whole world, but he died for me. And so when we read that Christ died for our sins, you can know that he died for your sins, according to the scripture. That he was buried. Yes, he did die and he was put in a rich man's tomb. But he rose again, confirming that the work that he had accomplished in paying for our sins was acceptable to God. That it was complete and your sins were paid for in full. The debt of your sin is paid in full. And you say, well, that's wonderful to hear, but I don't feel like my life has changed knowing that information. Well, one of the best verses, I think, when it comes to that is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You can turn there if you like, but I'm sure you know the verses. And if you don't, be sure to take some time to become familiar with them. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Lord Jesus Christ, he did a work. A work that was accepted by his Father. He rose from the dead. It was a completed work. And maybe you're wondering, how do I come into the good of it? It's a gift. It's already been done, but now it's in a nice, neat gift package. And we know what happens with gifts. Just give a gift to a child and see what happens. They take it. They want to know what's inside. They tear it apart and they get into what's really there. But if you hold out a gift, that gift is paid for, it's intended for somebody. There's nothing expected in return for a true gift. But if it's never taken, then you never enjoy the good of it, do you? The Lord Jesus Christ, he did the work. He paid for your sin. It's all done. The ticket to heaven is already purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ for you. And it's free, but you have to receive it. It says, "For by grace," we didn't deserve it, did we? I don't think anybody who's really honest with themselves, and of course this is from the Word of God, can look at our lives and say, you know, I think that I meet God's standard of perfection for his dwelling place. People have a lot of misconceptions about that, I know, but be honest with yourself and say, do I meet God's standard of perfection for his dwelling place? We love to say that we're good people. We love to say that we're even better than the person beside us. But do we meet God's standard? Because that's what the standard is. It's not our own standard. It's not the person. It's not about the person beside you. Do you meet God's standard? Can you look at your life, your heart, your motives, the things that have driven you, the things that you've done in secret, the things that you've done when you're alone, your thoughts, and say, I think that's what God wants for his dwelling place of perfection.
Can you look inwardly and say that? Nobody can. And we don't like to hear that, do we? But that's the truth. It's God's standard, not ours. And that's why we have this beautiful word, grace, because it's something good that we receive that we don't deserve. We don't deserve God's goodness. The Bible tells us repeatedly that we're gone out of the way of God. We're like sheep that have wandered away, following our own desires. And it's by His grace that we are saved through faith. And that's really the action part of all this. It's God's grace, it's His goodness that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's His grace, but it's through faith. Faith is the reaching out and taking the gift of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that gift, His work upon the cross of Calvary. And have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Have you said, I realize that I'm a sinner and I'm not fit for God's dwelling place? I can never meet God's standards. But if the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin and He did the work, I didn't deserve it, but if He's offering me something by grace, then I'm going to accept it through faith. That's the action. Faith is the reaching out and taking the gift. And sometimes that's a hard thing for people to grasp. It's so simple that people have a hard time getting their mind around it, because we're driven by works. What can I do to get this? You can't do anything. The work has already been done. And to say that you can do something is to say that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't good enough. Say, God, Your Son, He did a great work, and You approved of everything He did and raised Him from the dead, but I think it needs a little bit more. I'm just going to put the polish on that a little bit. A little bit of elbow grease. I'm going to finish it off. That's an insult to God. It's an insult to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think His grace is not sufficient to save you? So this morning, if you're wondering, if you had the opportunity again to write on a little cue card how I become a Christian, it's by faith. Putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a decision that you have to make, because you'll walk out of here one of two ways. Having put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and many people have already done that, or you'll walk out of here thinking about it and say, I'm not really grasping that, when really you're just not willing to make the decision to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what does that mean? Again, we come full circle right back to what is a Christian. If I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That means you've given Him your life. You trust everything that He said in this word, and that your life will be defined by the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your desire. And there's many Christians in here who have taken the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, and they've stumbled and struggled along the way. That's not unheard of. Everybody struggles. But this is what we ought to be striving for, and we can't do that in our own power. And that's why I ask the question as well, how do I become a Christian? Because what is a Christian? Well, it's being a Christian is a high standard, very high. And I can't look at my life and say, I deserve to be called a Christian, because I'm ashamed when I look at my life and say, do I give people a cause to call me a Christian? Most of the time, I'd have to be honest with you and say, no, you know what? I don't have a lot of people walking up to me and saying, you know, I think you're a Christian. Or at least walking up to me and saying, there's something different about you. You stand out from everybody else. I know a lot of religious people that teach religious things, and they're very pious come Sunday. but I go out with them Friday or Monday, and the things that they're doing don't match what they're saying. And so are we living those things? That's a high standard. And we could never meet that on our own. We don't have the strength to do that. But that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid for our sins. And he asks us now to put our faith in what he has done. And he will give us the strength to go through this world. It's all about him. He did the work, and it's him that gives us the strength to carry on in the life of a Christian. Because I look at those things and I could never do them on my own. But through his strength, the faith doesn't stop. I don't put my faith in Lord Jesus Christ and all of a sudden it stops and it's just smooth sailing for the rest of the time. It's a hard go. And there are challenges and trials and things that you come across that perhaps you'd never even think of, but the joy that's there because Christ is with you through it all and he gives you the strength. And if I could emphasize anything, it's that it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So my time is up, so we'll just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can look back through the pages of history and see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, naked, dealt with so unjustly, mocked, mishandled, beaten and spit upon. Father, we can look deeper into the pages of your word and know that that is not where the story ends. That was not the end of a short-lived ministry. But Father, that was your Son saving the world, not as some commander-in-chief of some army who would destroy the lives of men to bring one group of people to reign over another. He was winning a victory for all mankind. And Father, we know that through his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension to your right hand, that he now is an intercessor, a mediator for those who believe in him. And the Holy Spirit is in this world working, convincing, convicting men and women of sin, that our standard is not good enough to even come close to yours, and that we need a Savior. Father, if there's anybody here this morning who does not realize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you would make that abundantly clear to them. So we just commit ourselves in this time. And your word, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.